Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about faith, family, freedom, the state of Illinois, our nation, and conservative action. Here's David Smith and Monty Larrick.
I'm Monty Larrick. I'm joined by David Smith, the Executive Director of the Illinois Family Institute. And with us is Mr. Ed Ronkowski. Mr. Ronkowski, former Cook County prosecutor who wrote the book.
Literally.
On narcotics law for the Cook County State's Attorney's Office. Tell us about that.
Well, I served my last 22 and a half years as a prosecutor in the Cook County State's Attorney's Office. And I did a stint in their night narcotics court. And there was like 25 prosecutors down there. And being the senior person that was a trial prosecutor first chair, all the younger people were asking me some pretty dumb questions because they didn't want to ask the boss a dumb question and be exposed that they didn't know the basics. So I'd write out the answers and sometimes get them some research. And I had all these short essays on how to prosecute a narcotics case. So at home, I typed it up into a booklet that was like 25 pages called Narcotics Law. And it morphed into a training manual that was over 100 pages long, over 1,000 footnotes, with more than half the footnotes having more than one citation. And it was narcotics law. And they started handing it out to all the felony prosecutors in narcotics unit and otherwise on how to do motions to suppress, how to plea bargain, how to present a case, witnesses, and all the search and seizures issues.
And that's why a few years ago, months ago, I asked you if you would care to write an article kind of exposing the myth that is out there that marijuana, our prisons are filled with low-level marijuana or drug offenses, and we've got to do something to decriminalize marijuana or drug offenses because, well, just our prisons are filled with them. And you did a wonderful job and opened my eyes to the process and what it really does take before someone faces real serious jail time. Why don't you tell our listeners?
Yeah, I read the article that was published in the comments after there, and there was a bunch of prosecutors that chimed in saying that's 100% correct.
Yes,
that the prisons aren't filled with marijuana users, and it takes at least five arrests before you even considered.
Say that again. Five arrests.
At least five.
At least five. Tell me about that.
Here's how it goes. The first time you get arrested in Cook County, and they have these programs in other counties too, for a narcotics violation or cannabis violation, they give you drug school. You go to the certain number of classes. There's no test taken, so some people sleep through them. And if you just be there, they will mark you present. And then if you attend all the classes, your charges are dropped before any hearing. Now, the defense attorneys would tell me that the drug dealers like this because they meet new clients.
Oh, dear.
Okay. Huh. So then you get arrested again, and since you could only get drug school once, second arrest, you ask for court supervision, and the arrest is turned into a not guilty. The plea on the court supervision is turned into a not guilty after that's done.
So none of this is on your record yet?
Well, it's on the record as a not guilty.
It's not guilty,
court
okay.
supervision. Then if you get a third arrest, they give you 7-10 probation for the cannabis, 14-10 probation for a narcotics case, and that's if you have no prior convictions. And then at the end of that probation is turned into a not guilty. Then they had so much. Since I left the prosecutor's office, they enacted a new law, second chance probation, that you could get after you get 7-10 probation. There's also another deferral that if you have certain low-level convictions and you claim to be a drug addict, you get TASC, T-A-S-C, Treatment Alternative to Street Crimes, probation. And if you complete that, that's turned into an expungible disposition. Now, let's say you go through all those three, four scenarios and you get caught and the judge is tired of seeing you. He's going to give you straight probation with no jail time.
Wow.
And then if you violate that probation, then he'll consider giving you jail time. And then only after that are you going to get a year in prison. And a year in prison is actually comes out to 3 to 6 months. And it's usually less than that with time served.
Now, the scenario you just gave us, this process, is just for an arrest on marijuana possession, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, this doesn't include maybe the other aggravating circumstances or other crimes that you may be charged with, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oftentimes they accompany.
Yeah. There's a lot of times they pull somebody over for a traffic violation. There's a small amount of marijuana in there, and then they find out there's a warrant for murder or armed robbery.
Oh, my.
Or there might be proceeds of a crime in there, and they charge a heavier crime, and they go with a heavier crime because it has more penalties.
Right.
Now, keep in mind, back when I was a prosecutor, it was less than 2% of the population in prison were in for marijuana. In researching an article, I find out the current rate is 1.4% of the people in prison are there for a cannabis violation.
Right.
Those are people that are there as dealers. The cases involve many kilos, in some cases tons of cannabis, semi-trailers of it, where the judge has to sentence the guy to prison because of the huge volume involved. These are organized crime people that derive all their income from it. And they have a whole system of corruption that stems from the source of the marijuana, like Mexico,
sure.
Colombia.
Is this cartel activity?
Yes. They have cartels that distribute marijuana. They had a DEA agent decades ago that was captured and tortured to death over a period of weeks, and it took the federal government closing down the borders to get the Mexican government to find him, and they found his body. He was investigating a cannabis distribution system.
Wow.
And they kidnapped him and killed him for that.
Yeah.
Those people, when you pay for that marijuana, they get that high for that joint, part of that money goes to the cartels that distribute this stuff, and they exist through bribery, corruption, and murder.
That's right. Well, the troubling trend in Illinois Family is very concerned about this, to decriminalize marijuana, basically saying, hey, if you've got this amount, this small amount of marijuana, we're just going to give you a ticket, I think is sending the wrong message. Couple that with our new medical marijuana, so-called medical marijuana law, which is sending a message, well, it's medicine. So now we're saying to young people, especially as a society, as in our public policy, that it's not that big of a deal. It's kind of like a speeding ticket. And, you know, maybe it's like medicine. And we're sending this message to young people. And, of course, the goal here for the left is to make it full-blown recreational, legal marijuana like it is in Colorado and other states, Oregon, Washington. In this election cycle, 5 states are going to be voting on this referendum. And it's troubling because it's still federally illegal. If we had a chief executive in the White House who cared about this, he would be pushing the federal laws, right? Would be enforcing federal laws. But the question I have for you, Ed, is as an attorney, let's just look at Colorado for a second. Colorado is being sued by its neighbors because the surplus is coming over the borders and affecting their state's quality of life. And marijuana, medical grade, right? Marijuana is being sold on the streets in the surrounding what's your thoughts on that?
Well, people are going to – if the gasoline is cheaper in Indiana, they'll drive over there to get that.
Guilty.
If your prescription drugs are cheaper in Canada, people go there and get the prescription drugs. People are going to go where it's the easiest to get it, and they're doing that with the marijuana. Yeah. So that's going to happen.
Yeah.
With these medical marijuana shops you know, I've heard that some people, what they do, like in California or Colorado, is they go shopping. They go to one clinic to get their daily take of marijuana, and then they'll go to another clinic down the street to get their daily fill of marijuana that they're allowed to have. Is that happening in Illinois?
There was some procedures where the doctor had to certify the prescription and put it on there that this prescription is being given – I got to make sure I get the word right – that because no other drug will do the same effect.
Right.
And
But let me correct you on that, because they can't write a prescription, because that's illegal. That's an FDA rule, right?
Well, it's not a prescription. It's a doctor's note.
A recommendation.
Yeah, recommendation.
It's a recommendation,
yeah.
Right.
Thanks for the correction.
Yeah. No, and pharmacies can't dispense this. This is why you have these boutiques, will you? Yeah. These pot stores going to be popping up here in Illinois. Let me just clarify for listeners. We're going to have up to 60. That's what the law accepts. We're not there yet, but they're going to be one per state senate district. Here, let me just read you this. The law allows any qualified patient, and it's a low bar to qualify, to have 2.5 ounces of marijuana every 14 days. People I know tell me that's equivalent to 183 joints or every 2 weeks or 13 joints a day. And I like to say this. Cheech and Chong couldn't even smoke that much a day. So what is going to happen with the surplus? Well, we just talked about this. This is going to go on the streets. Medical grade, very potent marijuana is going to be on the streets for anyone to buy, including young people who may not qualify.
Well, when marijuana started becoming popular in the 60s and 70s, the potency was something like 2.5%. Now it's like over 8% because
That's right.
of genetics and all that. So
right, it's seven times more potent today. And one thing that I like to point out to people, and we probably should come back to this, but it's not like alcohol. I hear a lot of people saying, well, what's the difference between that and alcohol? They're the same thing. No, they're not. You and I, Ed, can have a glass of wine and not get inebriated, not get intoxicated. We cannot share a joint and not get high. You will get high from the people I talk to. I've never touched the stuff, but from what I understand, the people who've had experience say, no, you can't share a joint and not get high. You will get intoxicated. So with that, keep your thought. We're going to come right back and talk more with Ed Ronkowski about this issue.
This is an Illinois Family Institute, illinoisfamily.org update.
It's very important that doctors say, we will not kill our patients.
Several states have legalized assisted suicide, and lawmakers are more likely to approve it in Illinois if the Chicago-based American Medical Association decides to drop its opposition and go neutral on the issue.
When you have neutrality, you're telling people, we don't care that much about it. And if we don't care as medical people, why should the public?
Nancy Valco with the National Association of Pro-Life Nurses says the faith community must counter the pro-suicide and euthanasia movement.
The problem is they're going to get it even when they don't want it. Once you get educated, then you have to speak out and speak up.
And when voting, consider where the candidates stand on life.
If they're not good on that, how could they possibly be good on anything else?
For more information on voting, go to illinoisfamily.org. There's an easy way to be an informed voter. Visit ilvoterguide.com. ilvoterguide.com is a comprehensive online voter guide that rates the candidates on a 7-point scale from very conservative to very liberal. ilvoterguide.com lets you know where the candidates stand on life, taxes, and other key issues, who's funding the candidates' campaigns, and who's endorsing them. Before you vote, visit ilvoterguide.com. That's ilvoterguide.com. Thanks for joining us here on Illinois Family Spotlight. I'm Monty Lurick, joined by David Smith and our guest, Mr. Ed Ronkowski, former Cook County prosecutor who knows a lot about the whole narcotics trade and marijuana, the big push for medical marijuana, recreational marijuana.
Decriminalization of marijuana.
And, Ed, you think it's a bad thing?
Well, yes. The FDA has been asked to approve marijuana for medical purposes, and they have an established protocol that they apply to all drugs.
The medical experts and the scientific right. experts at the Food yeah. and Drug Administration, yes.
Right. They have approved synthetic marijuana that gives you all the medical benefits of it without any of the high effects.
That's right. There's a pill called Marinol.
And that's been available by prescription, and it has been used by prescription for decades.
To help with nausea and other things.
Exactly. And they have yet to have a single scientific survey that shows that getting high on the raw weed is superior to any drug that they have right now.
That's right. One of our good friends is Dr. Andrea Barthwell, and she spoke for us at a conference that we did at Marine Valley Community College, and she used the term, a phrase that we picked up at IFI and has kind of used it as our talking point. And she said this: eating or smoking raw or crude marijuana is not medicine. And I concur with that 100%, and I bet you do too.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. States that allow marijuana have seen an increase in reckless driving and reckless driving deaths.
That's right.
So you could expect that.
Well, and Colorado has also experienced a huge spike in emergency room visits from people overdosing on this, and we've even had children die. The 45% of the market in Colorado is in edibles. Well, the edibles happen to be things like brownies and cookies, and we're getting kids getting into the cookie jar, the marijuana-laced cookie jar, and eating a whole cookie or a whole brownie when they really should only take one bite or maybe two bites, and they're experiencing an overdose.
And I think
some of them are dying.
I think we need to explain, too, that the marijuana of yesteryear
right.
is a lot different from what we're seeing on the streets today and in these pot boutiques.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, the peer-reviewed academic scientific studies of marijuana use shows that adolescents who use cannabis regularly are twice as likely as their peers that don't use it to drop out of school.
That's right.
The peer-reviewed academic studies show when they have twins, and one twin uses the drug and the other one doesn't, same gene, same person, there's strong evidence that regular cannabis use leads to the use of other illicit drugs.
That's right.
Where the non-twin doesn't go into that. They've got scientific studies that show that middle-aged people like the three of us are more likely to have heart attacks if we have that we use cannabis.
Absolutely.
And then there's regular use of cannabis doubles the risk of experiencing psychotic symptoms, according to peer-reviewed academic studies.
Dr. Robert DuPont recently wrote an article in the New York Times that said that marijuana users are three times more likely to go into heroin use than anybody else. Yeah. So it doesn't guarantee that you're going to become a heroin addict if you start using marijuana, just like smoking cigarettes is not going to guarantee that you're going to become a marijuana user. But the likelihood is that, you know, there is a chance that you will pursue harder and stronger drug usage. One more stat I think that's very important for listeners to hear is that adolescent use of marijuana can reduce white matter in the brain by 80%. Shrinking the hippocampus, which controls memory, cognition, and learning, and it could heavy use, now I'm going to qualify it, heavy use can cause a permanent 8-point loss in IQ.
Oh, yeah, that's 100% correct, but you don't even have to have heavy use. They had a study of 50,000 young men in Sweden, and they compared the people in that study that used marijuana to the people that didn't, and they find out that the people that used any marijuana
right.
Were twice as likely to be diagnosed with schizophrenia than the
That's
non-users.
Right. And we can talk about that in a second, too. But at this point, I want to pull in an article that was done in June. The USA Today interviewed Libertarian candidate Gary Johnson, who has been a proud, outspoken proponent of legalized marijuana. He's even admitted that he's a daily user of marijuana. And so they asked him how long it's been since
he's
taken. Our
next president buzzed.
Oh, well, he is running for president as a libertarian, but they asked him, how long has it been since you've used marijuana now that you're running for president? He said this: it's been about 7 weeks. And he explained why he hasn't been using recently. He said this: I want to be completely on top of my game, all cylinders. That's why he hasn't been using them. So here's a tacit admission, right?
Oh, yeah.
Marijuana affects your thinking and doesn't allow you to be on your best game.
Yeah, even if you stop using it, you're still stuck with the defects in the brain that the marijuana smoking has caused.
Absolutely. And this will affect welfare state in this country too, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. There's The peer-reviewed academic studies show that people who use marijuana have lower ambition, more health problems, more sick days, more daydreaming at work. Even Obama, when he was first running for president, says we don't need a nation of potheads to improve the economy.
And he was a member of the Chum Gang, was it? What was that called?
Well, they got that photograph of him, you know, tooting up the—
Well, he's got experience.
Yeah.
So, and I take that seriously. People with experience who say, hey, I've done it, don't do it, they're teachers. They're not hypocrites.
Right.
So I'm not being too critical here.
Right. Well, now this push in Illinois for medical marijuana, the number of conditions that can be treated, so-called treated by medical marijuana— this is really risky business.
Well, you really shouldn't have the legislature
yes.
making the decision that medical studies say should not be made.
That's right.
The FDA will take any medical study, and if it meets the requirement that medical marijuana, the raw smoke form or the eat form, is superior to any product on the market right now that you could get with a prescription, they would allow it, but they don't. So the legislature, dominated by the Madigan-controlled Democrats, are trying to pass laws saying, yeah, you could get it anytime you want. You could eat it, and we're just going to overrule what the doctors can't do.
One of the things that we haven't talked about here today yet is what this is going to do to highway safety, too. You know, I've got family members. I've got my wife and my kids traveling the highways here in the Chicagoland area. We've already got distracted driving as it is, right? You know, the old, you know, the makeup being put on, eating a hamburger in the car.
Texting
now we've got
driving.
Texting.
Yep.
The last thing we need to add into the mix are people who are under the influence. And to that point, I just want to say, unlike alcohol, again, marijuana doesn't get out of your system within 24 hours. Alcohol does, if you have a liver that's working appropriately. But, you know, this could have effects on motor skills for 24, 48, 72 hours or more in the future. And so think about people who are already distracted, maybe texting, having this stuff in their system. Their reaction times on the highways could be deadly.
Yes, and the states that have lax laws on marijuana have an increase in reckless homicides, reckless driving. And you could see that the increase is directly attributable to the marijuana use when they have mandatory requirements on arrest to actually do a blood test to find out, are you drunk or are you high on marijuana?
Well, doesn't that give you a legal defense if you say, well, it was medical marijuana and then I had the accident?
No. Under the law, that's not a defense. You're not supposed to be driving inebriated, legally or otherwise.
But here's the problem, too. In Illinois, the law allows the patient to make that decision. I'm not under the influence or not. Well, you know, your judgment is already clouded because you're on the stuff. You know, why are we leaving this up to the patient, quote unquote, to make the determination whether or not they're fit to drive or not?
Well, actually, with all these checkpoints and police officers that are trained, if they see you driving erratically,
right.
They will make the proper observations, pull you over. And I guarantee it, with their training and experience and their testing, if you're driving drunk or you're driving high on marijuana and you get pulled over, you're going to end up telling it to a judge.
That's right. I have a friend who's a police officer in Tinley Park, and he says he has seen a tremendous increase, not only in distracted driving, but also in intoxicated driving or driving under the influence.
Yeah. I worked with the police for 3 decades as a prosecutor. They love doing traffic stops where the person is a custodial arrest because they get a free search of the car.
Mm.
And sometimes that traffic stop turns into a felony arrest.
Mm.
So the police love it. They're very aggressive on it. They know where the fine points of the law is, where they don't cross it. And if you give them a free search, they're going to take it. And if you've got something that you don't want to have the judge see or your family see, they're going to have it.
So what would you recommend to our state lawmakers when it comes to marijuana policy?
I don't mind the state legislature allocating funds, if they have funds and an unbalanced budget, they don't, to study it, because every study right now shows that this should not be legalized.
Okay. Good.
What should voters do?
The state is run by Michael Madigan and his sock puppets. And essentially, if you're voting for a Democrat for the General Assembly, you're voting for the status quo, and Illinois is ranked the 50th
state. And how many years
state.
Has Mike Madigan been in Springfield?
40-some years.
He's been the House Speaker.
He's been the House Speaker longer than any other speaker of any assembly in the states, in the history of the United States, for I think 4 or 5 years running.
And so just to clarify, we've had our good lawmakers in Springfield introducing very good pro-life, pro-family legislation that would be a benefit to this state, but it gets nowhere. It doesn't even get a hearing in committee because of Michael Madigan. He is the gatekeeper, and if we want to see things change in Springfield, it's got to be by making sure that he doesn't get the House speakership anymore.
Yeah, and you have to vote for the Republicans in the General Assembly to do that.
That's right.
Can we count on the Republicans to say no to marijuana expansion?
No. You can't say that all 47 existing Republicans are going to do that because
That's right.
There's been a couple defections in the past. And it's their voters in their districts that have the responsibility to hold their feet to the fire. But people that double-cross the voters and take a conservative position in one election and all of a sudden switch to try to get more voters have a tendency not to win those bigger elections.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. And they need to be challenged. So anyway, I would also encourage folks, talk to your lawmakers about your concerns when it comes to especially highway safety and the residual effects of marijuana being sold to minors across the state of Illinois. So,
all right. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Ed Ronkowski, former Cook County prosecutor and really an expert on the whole area of narcotics and marijuana. David Smith, the executive director of Illinois Family Institute.
Thank you, Ed, for being here.
Glad to be here.
All right. God bless and join us again on Illinois Family Spotlight.
Thank you for listening to Illinois Family Spotlight. For more information, please visit us at ifiaction.org and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. If you would like to email us questions or comments, please do so at feedback@ifiaction.org. Until next time, stay engaged and keep your eyes on the prize.